Money Buddy Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
It's been a while, but nah, we haven't gone anywhere. We've just been working hard to bring you some brand new episodes of Money Buddy presented by PGIM India Mutual Fund. Hello, everybody. Ahalya here, keeping you company once again. And where are my manners? Happy New Year. I know we're well into 2024, but I still think the wish counts. Now, on this episode of Money Buddy, as per usual, Ajith Menon, CEO of PGIM India Mutual Fund, joins us to give all of you budding investors out there some really valuable advice and insights, right? Yep, it's 2024, a new year, but that we won't change. Today's topic of conversation, very, very relevant to the times we're living in. The big I word is really bothering some of us, many of us, all of us, inflation. And, you know, while inflation is a result of many different factors, of course, at a macroeconomic scale, it is something that we can prepare for. Or is it? Today, Ajith shares his points of view on the matter of how investments can prepare us for inflation, can also maybe help us guard against inflation and other such ideas. So make your notes. This is Money Buddy by PGIM India Mutual Fund. We're diving in.
Hello and welcome to one more episode of Money Buddy. This is Ajith Menon, CEO of PGIM India Mutual Fund. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that actually affects all of us all around the world. And that's your number one money enemy, which is inflation. Now, most of you would have read about it, heard about it, and know about it as well. We call it mehengai, the kind of increase in prices of goods and services that we consume on a year-to-year basis. So, very simply put, that's what inflation is. It's the rise in prices of goods and services that we consume. And, you know, inflation, while it affects all segments of society, it obviously affects the poor much, much more, but it does affect all of us. I can say that, you know, if you're listening to this, you have kids in school or ready to go to college, you know how school fees are headed. It rises from year to year. We know the price of food and even fuel that rises from year to year, medical expenses and every other thing within our household. But it would be different for different households. So while you open a newspaper and you look at inflation in India that affects us as consumers, you will see them reporting a number like, oh, it's 5.1% in India today. The last 10 years, it's been about 5.6%. And frankly, that's a great effort by our government and our central bank to keep inflation at that level. Of course, I'm going to touch upon a little bit about that later into the podcast. But what's the goal here for everybody? The goal here for everybody, while you are managing your household, while you're managing your money and investing, is to protect your purchasing power. That's the key. That's the reason why we don't just withdraw cash and keep it under the bed and we put it in a bank deposit or we put it into various investments so that it can grow. And grow, that's where people make a little bit of an error. How much should it grow by? And that's where purchasing power comes into consideration. When you say that you're going to protect your purchasing power, you must protect your purchasing power based on inflation year on year. So all that you do with your money should, at the bare minimum, keep in pace with inflation and, of course, more than inflation so that your wealth can grow. So that's the sort of base as I set up to talk about inflation as the number one money enemy. Now, you know, when inflation is high persistently in a country, that's a big problem for governments because then they risk riots. People will get out on the road for bread and milk and eggs for their children and themselves. So governments don't like it at all. And they do their best to control it. And within every country, it is the central bank, and in India's case, the Reserve Bank of India, who has the mandate to make sure that they control it. Now, how do they control it? Well, when inflation is high, what does it really mean that prices are going up? Because there's so much money chasing goods and services that producers are able to keep on increasing prices. So what the central bank ends up doing in a country, and even here in India, is to then increase interest rates. When borrowing costs go up, as interest rates go up, people stop buying homes because loans rates are going up, or businessmen stop putting new factories because the borrowing cost of money from banks is going up. And that brings, you know, a sort of cooling off of the economy, and prices slowly start settling and inflation starts to come down. It's a long-term effect. It's not a short-term effect, but that's how the relationship between inflation and interest rates work. Now, I'm going to digress a little bit and give you some, you know, some more information around this, just to put things in context and tell you, you know, what are we sort of doing here in India? How does this inflation rate that we see in the newspaper get calculated? So what happens is that the officers from the National Statistical Office in India, they sort of visit about 1,314 urban markets and about 1,180 village markets of all states in India, including the Union Territories. And then they simply walk up to shops and look at the prices of almost 299 items, which are divided into six odd categories, which would be food and fuel and clothing, footwear, housing, so on and so forth. They all get put into six categories, and these categories are looked at once in 5 years. In India, food and fuel make up almost 54 or 55% of everything that is calculated by these officers. And it's, you know, when you think about comparing, in India, food itself is 45% of all of the items that make up that these officers are calculating to sort of print, what's the inflation number in India. In the US, for instance, food just makes up 13% of their inflation index. On the other hand, in the US, housing makes up 35% of their inflation index, whereas in India, it's just about 10%. So the way inflation is approached is pretty similar, but how it's calculated and what's underlying those calculations could differ from country to country, depending on the stage of development that they are in. But just to stay on the topic about inflation and controlling inflation in India, remember I said that governments don't like it, and what does the Reserve Bank of India do in that situation? I think one aspect which a lot of people may not realize as much is that India shifted the way it approaches calculating inflation and the inflation that the government and the central bank should focus on somewhere around 2016. And before 2016, right from the time of independence in India, they were looking at the wholesale price index, the price of goods that leaves the factory gate. But the government and the central bank then decided in 2016, hey, we should be looking at the inflation that is actually affecting the common man on the street. So in 2016, thereabouts, they shifted the policy of the central bank to try and control CPI, or consumer price inflation, the inflation that affects you and me. And they just didn't say, okay, let's shift from this to that. What they did was pretty important for us to realize, and it has an impact on how we invest and what we do, which is that they decided to put a target number to it. And so the government and the parliament gave a mandate to the central bank to control India's inflation for people at 4% plus or minus 2. So on the outer side, 6%, and the lower side, 2%, somewhere in between. It should be there. And remember, I told you that the inflation currently in India is 5.1. And the last 10 years, it's been about 5.6%. So they've done a damn good job about it. And it has actually made thinking about inflation and what you can predict about interest rates in the economy much, much more easier. It's become so much more predictable today in India, which makes the job for most of us, including advisors and people who deal with money, you and me, as we invest, a lot more better, I would say, a lot more efficient, because there's some predictability of what the government will do when you see inflation rising. You know interest rates are going to go up, and therefore you can start thinking about, okay, where where should I put my money, right? So that's a little bit of a digression to just give you a sense about this big, important topic that affects our lives, especially our money and investments. This podcast is about helping you with that. So this gives you a sense of what happens in the background for all of this. Now, there's, you know, one more interesting aspect that I can share with you. What happens usually when this inflation rises, when this CPI or consumer price inflation rises, is that things that you can touch and see go up in prices. So things like real estate and gold start rising in prices when inflation goes up. And when inflation goes down, things that you cannot touch and cannot see, things like equity stocks and things like that, those things tend to go up. This is a sort of simplistic explanation of it, but this is just to give you a conceptual understanding about, okay, so if inflation, I'm reading in the newspapers, is going up and the interest rates are likely to go up, I think that gold and invest, you know, real estate's likely to do well. And when inflation is on the way down and interest rates are going to come down, it's going to be good for businesses, and therefore equity investing could be pretty good as a choice. So now you know that there is something that you can use as knowledge to think about broadly what you should be doing when you look at that inflation. But yes, as I mentioned, inflation is different for different people. If you have children, like I said, and they are off to college, you know, those expenses are high. If you have parents or if you have people at home who need medical attention, those inflation is also high. So what do you do? What can you do when you think about it? Now, there are a couple of things that I would probably try and help you with here in the short time that we have to try and say, okay, what strategies can you think about if this is happening and you need to take care of inflation, right? So I would say that the first thing that can help you is if you can increase your savings rate, right? What I mean by that is maybe out of, let's say, just as an example, that you're earning a lakh of rupees and you're saving 10, 20 or 25,000 rupees. If you can increase that savings, it does help you a lot. Why is that? Because let's say that you have a 1 lakh rupee income and you're spending 50,000 rupees on all the goods and services that you need for your house. And if inflation is at 10%, just as an example, which means that 50,000 is going to become 55,000. 5,000 is going to increase. On a total of 1 lakh, that's just a 5% increase, half of the inflation rate. Why is that? Because you're saving the other 50%. That's fantastic. But if you're saving lesser and lesser, then your expenses are higher and inflation has a higher impact. So the first rule is, or the first strategy is, increasing your savings rate can really help you. But the second step is, well, what do you do with all that savings? Where do you put it? You know, when PGIM does surveys, we have seen that most people tend to just put money in the bank and in fixed deposits. They feel safe. That's what their parents have told them, so on and so forth. Not bad. You must always have some money in the bank. But does it keep pace with inflation? Probably not. Very rarely does it do that. There are, or on the converse, I'd probably say there are other investment types that can probably help you also get a little bit more than what inflation is. That helps you on your journey. And that's the reason why experts and advisors say you must always diversify your money and not just put all your money in fixed deposits or just insurances and things like that, or all of it in equity. You should have a diversified portfolio. Now, let me give you another sense. A lot of people think about it saying that, okay, if inflation is going to affect this, it's going to affect me in the long term and it's going to affect my retirement. How do I think about what money do I need then for retirement? And here's how you can think about it using a very simple golden rule of 72. A lot of advisors use the golden rule of 72. When you use the golden rule of 72, and assuming that you know an interest rate that you're earning or an inflation rate that is applicable to you, you can use the golden rule of 72 to figure out when will things double. So, for instance, if inflation is 7%, using the golden rule of 72, 72 divide by 7, roughly about 10, which means that in 10 years, if you're spending 50,000 today a month, you are going to have to spend 1 lakh rupees a month, right? It would have doubled. Similarly, assume that you are getting 10% on your investments, for instance. 72 divide by 10, roughly 7 years, which means whatever you have invested is going to double in 7 years. That's how the rule of 72 helps. So if you have an expense today, let's say you're a 30 or a 40 year old person today, you're spending 50,000 rupees a month, which is about 6 lakh rupees a year, and inflation is 7%. I'm taking a slightly higher number just to be conservative. 72 divided by 7, so it's going to double in 10 years, which means by the time you're at the age of 50, you're going to be spending 1 lakh rupees a month or 12 lakh rupees a year. And the same rule applies. By the time you're 60, you're going to be spending 2 lakh rupees a month or 24 lakh rupees a year. So now you can use this rule to say that, okay, this is my expenses, and if I take this inflation rate using the golden rule of 72, I can predict very simply what's going to be my expenses at the age of 60 when I want to hang up my boots. And when that happens, the typical rule that advisors will tell you is, hey, when you hang up your boots, you better have at least 25 times of that expense at the age of 60 in some good investment. So if it's 24 lakhs as expense at the age of 60, you multiply that by 25 and you'll get a number like 6 crore, right? Now, a lot of people get scared saying 6 crore? And you're thinking 20 years ahead, I don't think I'll have that kind of money. But you know what? You can actually do it if you're prudent and you think about your investments using a good advisor, trusted advisor who can help you plan for your diversification portfolio. You can actually get to those numbers pretty easily and pretty nicely. Of course, there are going to be bumps along the road, and that's where the advisor actually comes to sort of help you. I would just start closing on this by saying that this is one of the reasons why a lot of people say, hey, you must have some bit of your money in equity investments. And a safe way to do it would probably be through mutual funds, but a lot of people can buy stocks as well. But just having some professionals guide you, mutual funds start helping you in that regard. Why is that? Hey, because businessmen, when they put up a business, are going to make sure that they make profits and they make a return which is higher than inflation and interest rates. Otherwise, why be in the business? They can just keep money in the bank, right? So they are motivated to keep making profits which are higher than what they would get by putting money in the bank. So equities create those profits and losses, but good businesses over long periods of time sustain that advantage. So having a little bit of equity, that's how it helps. It helps you much better if you have a little bit of equity in your portfolio to take care of this one big risk to your money, which is inflation. It sort of promotes long-term thinking as well. So that's where the advantage is. I hope that you've got a quick good sense about inflation, its effect on investment, a couple of strategies that you can use to make sure that you can take care of this particular risk. I will always advise you to have a trusted advisor in your journey for that. I have spoken about strategies for retirement investing, and I talked about that 6 crore number and how you can do it. It's the 3 bucket theory that I've enumerated in earlier in my podcast. We'll try and put a link in the show notes. So I hope you guys, all of you who are listeners here, will get some good help with that. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you very much.
I definitely made notes, and while it's super important to have a financial advisor that you really trust, who really gets you and understands where you want to be in your financial and investment journey, I'd like to believe that these episodes, especially through Ajit's experience and expertise, give us some really important points to think about and ponder over, maybe even bring up in those meetings with our wealth managers or financial advisors. I hope you enjoyed this episode, folks. We definitely enjoyed bringing it to you and making our way back to you in the new year with a brand new episode. We're not going to stop anytime soon, so keep a lookout and happy investing. This is Mia Halea signing off for now. Adios. Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme related documents carefully.
Money Buddy Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.